Hey, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. Frank Gray's going to be up here in a second to talk with us about Chris Brown. Chris Brown has been released after being charged with a misdemeanor on some falderall that he was involved in. We also have R.C. Collins on to talk about a British guy charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. Chris Brown had a felony assault charge reduced to a misdemeanor in Washington, D.C. today before being released on his own recognizance.
No, recognizance.
I know.
You're fooling around.
Yeah, he's fooling around.
I asked Mr. Hendry, because when you fool around like that, Phil, you've got young people out there that are going to talk. We've already got young people who speak as if they're the Molochs from the time machine. You know, one-eyed, just these cyclops. You know, these grunting cyclops. We don't need any more of that, you see.
Margaret, relax.
Yeah, when you talk about that one-eyed cyclops.
Well, I'm getting sick and tired. I've got a son that talks like a chattering imbecile, like a half-wit, like a soulless half-wit, is really what I'm going for.
God, that's pretty bad, pretty rude.
What's up with you, anyway?
What do you mean, what's up with me? I'm asking you to speak proper English so that my son doesn't speak like a soulless, excuse me, half-wit.
And you're real proud of those belches, aren't you?
Yes, I am, because as I said to you before, there are worse things in this world than someone trying to be healthy.
By just belching right out there on the air, it's just fantastic.
And there you are drawing attention to... Could you get my husband, please, on the phone?
I'll direct the show, if you don't mind. Get Frank Gray on the line. I think he's at Ted's of Beverly Hills. God... So anyway, Chris Brown had a felony assault charge reduced to a misdemeanor in a... I said recognizance. I said I was kidding, you know. Had a felony charge reduced to a misdemeanor and released on his own recognizance in Washington, D.C. Today, the singer did not enter a plea when he appeared before a judge at the D.C. Superior Court. Frank Gray is on the line with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. Frank is an entertainment attorney. He's retired as an attorney and has mostly spent the last number of years as a... independent television producer. Frank, how you doing?
Hey, young man, I'm better than Custer.
Frank, what do you know about the Chris Brown story?
Well, only what the newspapers are saying. I know she got arrested. One of the things about Chris Brown you have to understand is she is a R&B singer, and she, you know...
Hold on for a minute. Put him on hold, please. Put him on hold, please.
What are you putting him on hold for?
Just hold on, Frank. I got to check. Would you put him on hold?
You can't have him on the air when you discuss this.
I know. Frank Gray, folks, has gender confusion as the result of a neurosyphilitic condition. Go ahead, take him off a hold. Take him off a hold, bud.
What?
Take him off a hold, man! How many times I got...
What's going on there anyway, okay? You're always saying put him on hold.
It's nothing. I had to check something.
You're always having to check something. What is it, your fly? Every time you have me on this cockamamie show of yours, you're always having to check something. You're talking to your Dickman, and she's always getting into some... I don't know what your problem is.
I got no problem. I just had... We had a equipment malfunction. Let me just ask you. So what do you know about Chris Brown? What was the assault charge? Can you give us some background?
Yeah, as I was saying, she got arrested. Her bodyguard, Chris Halsey, were arrested on Sunday. They had an altercation outside the W Hotel in Washington, D.C., and were arrested by the Washington Metropolitan Police. Now, they were both taken into custody. The victim was transported to an area hospital for her injuries, according to the police spokespeople. Now, this altercation started after this man attempted to, quote, photobomb a picture that Brown was taking with female fans. Photobombing. They misspell it. It says photoboning.
No, it's called photobombing, Frank. What are you saying?
I'm looking at the way it's spelled, woman. Okay?
What is your problem tonight?
I don't have a problem. I'm on the program, and I keep getting people saying, put her on hold. She's, you know, put her on hold because we got to check something.
Well, we did, Frank. No one's hiding anything from you.
Well, I don't believe that. Every time I'm on this cockamamie dopey show, someone says, oh, put her on hold, we got to check something, and then I come back, and the host says, oh, hey, Frank, how you doing? And then she starts talking to me.
Yeah, the host being me.
No, I know that. I'm just trying to get the... It says here, photo bombing. What do you want me to say?
Well, it could be a misprint. It's called photo bomb. You know that, right?
Yes, I know that, but it could have been some other thing when they said a photo bomb. I don't know, all right? I'm trying to do what a man got to do. I'm sitting here at Ted's. I had a Caesar salad. I had a drink. I'm trying to relax, and now you people call me and try to ruin my night. Okay?
I'm not trying to ruin your... Hey, Frank, if you want to go, you can go, man. I don't want to ruin your night.
It's okay.
What? I don't know what's up with you, but...
Nothing up with me that another drink... Hey, you. Give me another drink. Nothing up with me that another drink isn't going to cure.
And why aren't you a little bit more polite to some of the people there?
What?
Why aren't you more polite to the servers there? I heard you, hey, you.
I said to this guy... She walked by the table. I said to her, give me a drink. Isn't that what I... Where's Ted? Let me get Mr. Bell, please. I want to talk to her. Yeah, thank you. I said, as the young man walked by the table, and I said to her, give me a drink. So that's what she's doing.
Well, okay, and that's fine, Frank. I'm not going to...
Well, that's not what you said. You said, hey, you.
Margaret, please.
No, I didn't. If I said, hey, you, it's because somebody is... You know, I got to tell you something.
Look, at Frank, I don't want to make your day any worse than it's been, okay? If you want to go, you can go.
No, I don't want to go, but I'm just telling him to just back off of me, Margaret. I love you, and you're a great wife, but back off, okay? Just back way off.
What's going on today? Was there something you didn't tell me about what happened today? Was it the meeting with Fletcher?
Don't worry about it.
It was. It was the meeting with Fletcher.
Who's he?
He's a... You know, he can't let it go.
You're talking about Fletcher?
No, I'm talking about my wife. He can't let it go.
I knew that was going to be a tough meeting. He's trying to get funding for a movie.
All right, let's not talk about it. Let's get back here to Chris Brown.
Right, that's who I want to talk about. Now, somebody photobombed a picture that she was in, all right, as a practical joke. That's what a photo, what's it called? Photobomb. That's what it's called. According to the victim's account to police, Brown told the man, I'm not down with that gay blankety blank. I think he said the S word. And then he said, I feel like boxing before punching her in the facial area with a closed fist. I don't understand the word. I'm reading this from a news. It says he and... Talking about Chris Brown, right?
Chris Brown and the fan.
Yeah, okay. Let me read it with the right gender. Brown told the man, I'm not down with that gay ass. And then he said to her, I feel like boxing, before punching her in the facial area with a closed fist. Halsey then allegedly stepped in and punched the victim in the face before grabbing Brown by the arm and pulling her toward the tour bus, according to police report. The man suffered swelling and bruising to her nasal area, though it's been reported the man's nose was broken and may require surgery. There is a charge of that, blah, blah, blah. So there you have it. What do you think?
Well, I think that if a fan steps in and photobombs a photo and you don't want him to, then you say to the fan, wow, you really ruined that picture, and you take the picture again. I think physically assaulting the guy is I don't know how that gets reduced to a misdemeanor. How does that happen?
I'll tell you how it happens. Chris Brown's got a lawyer in Washington, D.C., who went to the judge and said to the judge, you understand, judge, that Mr. Brown was probably reacting in defense of the bodyguard who was taking care of the problem, and then the fight started, and the fight was started by the fan. So I think that the attorney said to the judge, you know, I'm gonna fight this one because this is obviously a misdemeanor. There is harassment involved, and there is a defense of the photo bone, or not the front, the frontal. It's called a
photo bomb, man. Photo bomb, not photo bone.
You know what?
Well, you knew he was gonna hang up.
Yeah, I know. He's in a bad mood.
He didn't get funding for the movie. This guy, Elroy Fletcher, was going to fund some documentary that Frank is doing on SEALs. And ostensibly it's about SEALs, but it's really about the coastline of Tasmania, where there have been a number of sightings of some sort of a sea creature. And they wouldn't give Frank permission to film there because he'd said originally that's what I want this documentary to be about, which is the Noxious. What are you looking at?
I'm just looking at you. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
The Noxious is a legendary New Zealand sea serpent. You'd have never heard of that.
No.
Well, that's what Frank told the government, and they said no. He came back, and he said, no, it's actually, I'm kidding. I actually want to do this about the seals down there. And they said, well, okay.
They must be idiots, or this is a joke, or...
Why are they idiots?
Well, the same guy comes back and says, on second thought, I want to do it...
Well, he may not do it if he doesn't get the funding. This guy, Elroy Fletcher, who is a New Zealander and has great interest in the legendary Noxious, which is this New Zealand sea serpent, declined to fund the film because he said Frank is the wrong producer for this. He said that Frank is more of a Hollywood type of guy and is not going to treat it as an academic subject. So.
Well, that could be true. I don't know. All right, we're going to be back here in a world famous...
What do you mean it could be true?
I don't know, Margaret. It could be. It maybe, you know, Frank is a Hollywood guy. We're going to be back here in a world famous Phil Henry show with more The Noxious. What the hell is that, man? That sounds like something right out of the... I don't know. Anyway, world famous Phil Henry show and philhenryshow.com. It sounds like something out of the Kraken or something like that.
The what?
The Kraken. All right, we'll be back. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Now, I have on the line, this is interesting. So Dr. Turner is at Ted's of Beverly Hills with sitting with Frank.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and let's just clarify here. I'm not looking to get into a problem, Margaret, with you or anybody about this movie. Ron Turner on the line. Ron, how are you?
Phil, doing great, and I am sitting here with Frank Gray. I was brought in as a consultant on the possibility that this film would be made, and we still hope very much so that it will be made. I just want to say one thing, Phil. Understand that Elroy Fletcher is not the last individual who's going for me to reach out to fund this. Elroy Fletcher, there are a lot of more fish in the sea than she and her production company. Elroy says what? This is an important topic.
It's an important topic, Phil, and Frank is very serious about filming it.
All right. This is a film about a legendary New Zealand sea creature.
That is correct. Much like the... I'm sorry, Doctor. I just wanted to grab the phone from Dr. Turner and say that the creature is not unlike the Loch Ness... Well, you were going to say that, weren't you?
I was. Let me do it. It is not unlike the Loch Ness Monster, which is known to generations of people on Earth as the legendary so-called sea serpent of the Loch Ness in Scotland. The Dachshund is a part of the legend of the seas around New Zealand. Now, we've brought, I say we, I hope you don't think...
I'll do it. This is a part that I understand, Doctor. We brought down Melanie Kuban. Do you know Melanie Kuban, Phil?
I do not, no.
Well, he is a very, very beautiful and famous model and is looking to break into acting. Now, this is a documentary, so I don't want him acting, but I decided I'd put him on a raft out about 120 yards from shore because the Noxian has been spotted here.
You're all done with Melanie Kuban, huh?
What's that? Done. I wanted to tell Phil. Here, you do it.
I guess he's passing the phone to me when the science part is applicable, and then he takes the phone away from me, which, without asking, by the way, just grabs it.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to grab it from you, Doctor, but if I have a thought, what do you want me to...
You could say that I have the phone, or you could...
Okay.
Anyway, Phil...
All right, so you have the phone, and you're talking now, but I understand there's going to be an actress there.
Yeah, this is an actress by the name of Melanie Kuban. I've never met her.
You're talking about the actress. That's the thing. He's a young actress. He's beautiful. There's no question that Melanie has there's no question that he's a gorgeous young lady, and he has the big, you know what?
Do you not want me to talk about Melanie Coupin?
If you're going to talk about Melanie Coupin, I do. That's my part.
All right. Well, I won't talk about Melanie Coupin.
He's not going to be in the movie as an actor. He's going to be in the movie because he's gorgeous and because we want to put him out on a raft and as bait. Now, understand something, Phil. I would never endanger any member of my crews. The minute we have any indication that the noxion has arisen from the deep and it has broken the surface of the water, we are going to pull Melanie the hell out of there. Just to quote General George Marshall in the film Saving Private Ryan, you're going to get him the hell out of there. Well, we're going to get him the hell out of there, okay? And although in Saving Private Ryan, you're going to get her the hell out of there, although he said him. So that part confuses me. But we're going to get him out of there. This beautiful young woman is not going to be bait for the noxion.
Okay. All right. Now, Phil, that's good to know. The noxion...
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm not.
Wait, hey, Frank, would you let him have the phone? Just let Dr. Tarner have the phone.
Dr. Tarner can have the phone, but I don't want Dr. Tarner commenting on anything having to do with the...
So here's what I wanted to say. The noxion, Phil, is supposed to break the surface of the water in the middle of the night around 3 a.m. and feed and then dive to the deep. And that's where this young lady, Melanie Coupin, will be on this raft.
And how long will she be out there?
How long will the actress be out there? Thank you.
Yeah, he'll be out there probably no more than a half an hour, right when the noxion... And if there is an attack, and I doubt it, because the minute a sea serpent comes out of the water, you're going to be Johnny on the spot, and we're going to get him the hell out of there.
When you say, Frank, that you're going to get him the hell out of there, what are you going to do? How are you going to do that?
Well, the raft is equipped with a long, very strong hemp line, and the minute we see the noxion break the surface, we pull the raft in, and we've got a good 7-8 very sturdy young men, and they will pull this raft in, and don't even worry about it.
Is that going to be fast enough?
Is what going to be fast enough?
If you see a sea serpent break the surface of the water with a young woman on a raft pulling the raft in from 150 yards out, that seems like that's a no-brainer for the sea serpent. If it's a hungry sea serpent, he can just swim and...
Well, hold on. She can do what? What are you saying about the sea serpent? The sea serpent is... We're going to be pulling the raft away from the sea serpent.
How fast can this thing swim?
I haven't got any idea. Are you serious? They haven't even begun to do studies.
Well, then how do you know that you won't be pulling that raft in fast enough to get this young lady out of harm's way from this gigantic creature?
First of all, let me ask a question. Who said it was gigantic? Who said it was gigantic? Where are you getting that?
Phil, the noxion is not gigantic. It's only about a 3-foot-long eel. But it's legendary in that it can eat an entire raft. You see what I'm saying here?
Do you understand now, Henry? Boy, you really make some assumptions, don't you?
All right, hold on.
Are you kidding me?
What are you looking at me for?
That thing's only about 3 feet long, but it's going to eat a raft.
When he said a sea serpent and a monster, I thought it was
That's what I thought. It was gigantic. Let me get on the phone with Frank. I got to get some things straightened out with him.
Yeah, hold on.
Well, not right now. We're still on the air. But, I mean, the mic's open, okay? It's only about 3 feet long, but it can still eat rafts. Well, all right, so we'll straighten that one out. Frank Gray with us, Dr. Ron Tarner, talking about a legendary New Zealand sea serpent called the noxion, which they are attempting to film a documentary around. They've gained the approval of the New Zealand government. They'll be down there filming. They're taking with them a model, an actress, aspiring actress, who will sit on a raft out in the area where this thing feeds early morning, it sounds like. And as it's feeding, they are going to they're going to in case it attacks the raft, they'll pull her in. I don't understand this at all, man.
They'll pull her in. Well, it sounds like they could pull it faster than a 3-foot-long eel can run.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. I don't know. So we'll be back with Frank Gray and Dr. Ron Tarner. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Bobby Dooley's podcast is available now on the Sideshow Network as well as at our website, philhendryshow.com. It is a free podcast, so go check it out. Bobby Dooley, and this Wednesday, she'll be in studio with the Sklar brothers, Dana Gould. So look for them on future Bobby Dooley podcasts. Back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. So thanks very much, guys, for that update on the noction. I don't really...
Well, it is interesting.
No, it's not interesting. It's not interesting at all. It sounds... It's the most screwed-up thing I've ever heard. It sounds like Frank's...
Yeah, he's getting nuttier as the day goes by.
Getting nuttier? Really, look who's talking.
You want that guy going down to New Zealand and filming a documentary on a 3-foot-long sea serpent?
It apparently eats entire rafts. Are you listening to what they're saying?
Okay, Margaret, do you believe in such things?
Well, why wouldn't I think of the possibility? Are you saying you don't think those things are possible?
I'm saying that we have more of an imagination than there are spooky and weird and unexplained things. I think the most unexplained thing of all is the human being inclination, the human race's need to have unexplained things. That's unexplainable. I mean, in a day and age when we ought to be able to explain everything, with rational thinking, and, you know, everybody that believes in this garbage, there's the one thing that pisses them off more than anything else is the rational thinker. They always make fun of the rational thinker. They're always mocking them. They're always saying, you just wait and see. You watch what happens. And it never happens because they're basing their belief in an emotional need. Whereas people that are trying to think rationally are basing their thoughts in fact, in what has gone before, what is the percentage or likelihood of something happening, and you know, what does the universe support as far as we can tell. We don't base our belief, you know...
Well, this we, so you're one of the rational thinkers?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I am. I'm at least one of the people that... Do I believe there's a Loch Ness Monster? The answer is no, I do not believe there is one.
What are you talking about, man? That's been around a long time.
Why don't you believe that, Mr. Henry?
Because they've gone and tried to find this thing I don't know how many different times. They've had sonar. They've had radar. They've had every kind of modern detection equipment.
Well, they did see a large mass.
Oh, give me a break. Yeah, they did see a large... They explained that could have been a school of fish. There wasn't any definable anything. One minute they saw a large mass, the next minute they didn't see it. What, is this thing invisible? Does it just disappear?
Well, it could be like a secret passageway.
Yeah, what about a secret passageway?
Yeah, that's it. There's a secret passageway between here and another dimension. Is that what we're talking about? They saw a large mass, and then they didn't. They could explain that a million different ways. It didn't look like a large, solid body moving through the water. They've never seen anything. They've never seen a thing. They've never did anything that supposedly has been around for hundreds and hundreds of years. Anything that supposedly has been around, like that damn Bigfoot. There ain't no Bigfoot. Trust me on that, okay?
You can't say that, Phil. You're just saying that to piss off all the people that believe in Bigfoot.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't want to piss off people, believe me. But I'm getting sick and tired of hearing people who believe in Bigfoot, people who believe in Loch Ness Monsters, people who believe in all that garbage. I get sick and tired of hearing those people being given all of the... They get to have all of the say, man. They're the ones that get all the play. They're the ones that get all of the all the love. Everybody wants to, you know, everyone wants to talk about those cats and what, you know, and nobody wants to just bring this thing back down to Earth. Hey, there's no UFOs. There's no...
You can't say there's no UFOs. There is UFOs.
Yeah, UFOs, unexplained flying object.
But what about that?
Okay, fine. There are UFOs. And the UFOs, if they are unexplained flying objects... They're explained within about a half an hour to a day to 2 days to 3 days. They always explain them. There's always an explanation for them. It always has something to do with the planet Earth, man. It ain't got nothing to do with anything else. So, I'm sorry to have to rain on your parade.
And with just days to go before Halloween, what about ghosts? What about...
No, I'm sorry. You know why? Because I've studied the human race my whole life. One thing I know about people is that, and this is the thing that even humans can't figure out about themselves, we have a really strong connection to a few archetypes that go all the way back to the times that we were cave people. As advanced as we are, we still hearken back to the time when we were wandering around and we were scared of everything. We saw the sun and we saw the moon and we saw the stars and the wind, and we would erect these little statues and these little altars and try to pray to gods that we created to try to keep the horrible elements away from us, because everything just scared the hell out of us, you know. We couldn't explain a damn thing. And that was a very, very pivotal and very trying and traumatic time for the human species as we were just sort of creeping and crawling along the face of this earth for tens of thousands, if not millions of years. We couldn't figure out what this is, what that is. And gradually we figured this stuff out. But that was such a profoundly, you know, it's like birth. You know, they say that birth is traumatic. Birth is a violent tearing into the world. I mean, we always talk about that. Well, so was the birth of the human species. It was a scary thing. It was a frightening thing. And there was sun, and there was moons, and, you know, and we had all kinds of stuff we had to be afraid of. And gradually, slowly but surely, over tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years, we gradually began to get a grip on what the hell it was we were looking at. We saw cycles in things. We saw that some certain things came around at the same time, and we saw that certain things happened if we did certain things a certain way. We began to figure things out, you know.
Well, what? So we turn into cave people when we think about ghosts.
I just think those things are still, are, as I say, they're archetypes. They sit in the very oldest part of our brains, and they're ready to sort of just come flashing out at times. And one of them is ghosts, spirits, spooky stuff. I mean, we believe in it even when we are rational people. We believe that things like guns... I don't want to have it in the house. You ever hear people say that about a gun? I don't want it in the house. Why? Because it's going to somehow do something to us.
Well, now, wait just a bit. Now you're saying the people that are anti-gun... I won't have you doing that, Phil.
Wait a minute. I'll do whatever I want to do. You know, I'm just making a point here. Don't we say that about guns? We go, ooh, I don't want that in the house.
Yeah, a lot of people say about a gun, like, it's like an evil spirit or something. What are you talking about, man? You never heard that.
I hear it all the time. People say, I don't want that. I don't want it in the house. And don't give me this bull crap about, well, they're afraid a kid's going to get to it. No, that's not it. That's not it. Guaranteed. What that is they're afraid the vibes on that thing will somehow come and get them. I'm telling you.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. You know it isn't. People don't want to have a gun in the house because they're afraid the vibes on that sucker, man, is going to, woo! You know, is going to reach out and grab them. And we're like that way with a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff, you know? And I think the same thing is at work with Obama. I'm telling you right now, there's a throwback brain that's at work where we can't get out of our own way. Especially white people, as a black guy, as president, and as forward thinking as we want to be, as rational as we want to be, some people just give full vent to it, and they, well, there's something wrong. I mean, there's no other explanation for people that keep on with this Kenyan thing. I mean, that has gone beyond intelligent. It's gone beyond... There's no rational explanation. There's no rational reason why anybody would think that Obama's from Kenya. Anybody that thinks he is a mental defect. Either they've got a psychiatric problem or they have a very low level of intelligence. But there's no other explanation. If you really believe that Obama's from Kenya, you either need a psychiatrist, which means there's a neurotic or psychotic problem going on, or you just have an IQ that's very low, okay? But those are the people that are sort of at the tip of the spear, if you'll pardon the use of the word spear.
Yeah, see, even you did it when you say spear.
Yeah, well, you're saying spear chucker.
Take it easy, will you? So those are the people, but there are other people that sort of tend in that direction. They want to believe it, because it's just, I think, it's part of tribal thought. The separation of the tribes, you know. So I don't believe in ghosts, and I don't believe in any of that crap, you know.
And you don't believe that in saying you don't believe that you will invite the taunting of the supernatural beings and so forth.
No, I don't.
Would you spend a night in a haunted house?
Yeah, I'd spend a night in a haunted house, and I would be, this is what I would be thinking. There's going to be somebody going to try to scare me. There's going to be some people out there.
Yeah, so you believe in a ghost?
No, I don't believe in ghosts. No, I don't.
Well, who's going to try and scare you?
The guy that invited, anybody that's going to invite me to spend a night in a haunted house wants to scare the hell out of me. He wants to scare me into believing in ghosts. So what's he going to do? He's going to hire a bunch of people to try and scare me.
Well, what would you do then?
I'd be waiting for it. Some kind of, whatever. Somebody jumping out of the dark. I mean, that's the only way that's going to happen, you know. So, thank you very much. That was a very interesting conversation.
Well, I think that you are being very...
Margaret, yeah, Halloween is a blast. I love it. It's great. It's fantastic. I don't believe in those things. I think they're the product of a primitive brain, the human experience in times gone way back when we were scared to death of everything and we had to invent all kinds of things to explain all kinds of things. And we still do it. We still do it. We're still inventing supernatural creatures. These UFOs, this has gone beyond science. Now it's a religion. Same thing with everything else. So...
You know, I like how you just go, ding, ding, ding. I love how you just blow it off, dismiss it. God, I hope. You know, there are times, Phil, when I want creatures to exist like vampires. How hard would I laugh if I found out that you were found one morning with two puncture wounds in your throat? Not dead. I don't want you to be dead.
Oh, just with a great loss of blood?
No, not a great loss, but just so I could laugh at the news that you were found with puncture wounds in your neck.
Yeah, what if he was dead to become an undead?
Would you get a grip?
Well, that's what it's supposed to be. If they find me with two puncture wounds, you better hope that I'm alive so that I don't come back as a vampire.
I didn't say that. I said I would want you close to death, but not dead. Never mind.
You laugh if Mr. Henry became a vampire?
No, I wouldn't laugh if he became a...
You'd be scared if I became a vampire.
How about this? I will laugh myself. I'll laugh so hard I'll lose control of my bowels if I ever find out that you got haunted by some old lady, an invisible old lady that just scared the...
Yeah, well, I mean, it depends on the house I'm staying in, I'll tell you that much. My house right now is down at the beach. I don't think there's... They got to tell you if there's been a murder committed before they sell it to you.
Yeah, what about that? The guy get killed in your house?
I mean, that's possible, but by law, they got to tell you if anybody's been killed.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people
Would you buy a house if you knew that a whole family had been slaughtered by their father, butchered up into small, tiny, bite-sized nuggets?
Yeah, what about that? They got slaughtered up in a ton...
I heard her the first time. If it was what I was looking for, yeah.
What, man? You gotta be kidding me, Mr. Adams. No way.
If it was what I was... If the price was right, why would I say no? Why would I say no?
My God.
No, come, give me a break. What's gonna happen? Are they gonna haunt me?
What about the Amityville Horror?
Yeah, what about that, when the guy got all slaughtered up and everything like that?
I don't know about the Amityville Horror, man. I don't know if any of that stuff... I don't know if it's true. I don't know if it's made up. I don't know if it's somebody that saw something and then other people picked up on it and made it bigger by making stuff up. I have no idea about the Amityville... I read about the murders. I know what happened in the house.
What happened?
Well, I mean, a guy killed his whole family in the house. Hold on, I got to take a break here. World-famous Phil Henry Show. I want to read a little bit more about Lou Reed. Lou Reed remembered, there's an article here how he supported a strike by the New York Daily News and other interesting news. Also, Penn State to pay nearly $60 million to 26 abuse victims, and we still have R.C. Collins up with the British man charged with hacking NASA and U.S. military computers. He's, still up and coming here, folks. World-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. Back in just a sec. World famous Phil Henry Show, and Matt asked me a very good question. He's going to play any Nirvana tonight as well. I mean, I hadn't thought of it, but as we go out tonight, we usually do when someone has passed on in the music world who we admired. Alvin Lee was the last, I think.
Yes, Alvin Lee was the last musician that died that you respected enough to play their music. I'm sure there've been a great many, Phil, but you haven't had.
I haven't had what?
You haven't had the common decency to acknowledge it.
Oh, give me a break. I'm supposed to... Get out of here, Margaret.
Well, I mean, what is this, you know?
It's... This is about me. The show is about... This is a Phil Henry show, so it's going to be about me. And if people dig it, that's great. I'm glad to have you. If they don't, I'm sorry, but, you know...
And it doesn't bother you that... Do you know that who died recently was... didn't one of the Beatles die or something?
Oh, you're really on top of things.
Well, I don't know, Phil.
In any event... okay, cool. That's something for the end of the show. Now, Danny Cardo is a longtime New York freelance journalist, and Danny's on the line with us here in New York. I want to talk a little bit about Lou Reed being the supporter that he was of the rights of workers. I guess Lou was, in his way, Danny, one of those lefties, huh, that people talk about, those left-wing musicians, huh?
It struck me the other day, Phil. I was reading about Lou. The day that he died, thought about him being a stereotype for so much of the New York music scene, which was and still remains a very unique music scene, and that the musicians in New York are more politically motivated, probably more politically active, I think, than most of the musicians across the country. And I think New York musicians tend to be a little bit more intelligent that way. And I think with Lou, it was very definitely the case, because Lou was a man that was a citizen of the world. You know, he not only was a musician, he kind of cared about people so much. People say he hated critics. Well, I think he didn't hate critics so much. He just hated the pursuit of being a critic. The idea of criticism to him was inherently destructive, because it was never really about how good things could be. It was always about how bad things could be.
So when did Lou play this? He played a benefit.
Yeah, Lou played a benefit in 1991. It was for the New York Daily News workers who'd been out on strike, and Lou was part of a concert that raised money for these striking workers. And there'd been lots of shows and lots of benefits for a lot of workers across the country. I don't think anybody had ever thought of doing one for the New York Daily News writers and New York Daily News workers, but Lou was there, and he not only agreed to be the headliner, he helped them find a good venue for the event, and it turned out to be quite a hip place. The club known as The Building.
What was the club's name?
The club was called The Building, and it was then in a place called the Flower District in the West 20s in New York City. Getting Lou as a headliner, I think, for that group helped them draw other talent. They got the Roaches come in, and Pete Seeger came in, and Q-Tip, Tribe Called Quest. It was quite a show, and on the day of the event, Lou, he showed up. He was not a star. He didn't require any special handling. You know, he didn't have no... nobody was needed to, get Mr. Mr. Reed as...
Is he strained tangerine juice?
Yeah, you know, stuff like that, you know. And he also played more songs than was originally agreed on, Phil. Lou was only supposed to play a set, I think, of maybe a half hour, and he went a lot longer than that. He played Walk on the Wild Side plus songs from his New York album, which showed his great love for the city. And it was a great night. They packed the house, even drew the Mayor Dinkins at that time. And he was just... He said to the writers later, he said, "You don't have to write nice things about my albums just because I did this concert. You don't have to write nice things about Lou Reed." And I think that's what a lot of people thought. Maybe they would have said, "Okay, look, I did your benefit, and why don't you write some nice things about me?"
Oh, I see. So there was a cynical view that, Lou is doing this so he'll get better reviews?
Yeah, I think that's the way a lot of people might have thought at the Daily News, a couple people. No, that wasn't the case. In fact, Lou made that very clear. He said, "I don't want anybody to think I'm looking for favors. You keep right on trashing my albums if you want to." You know, but, I think he was a great musician. I think he was a great man. And, I personally loved his music very much, and I'm sorry to see him go. And the other thing now, just like you said earlier, I've got all these people that are now fans of Lou Reed, you know, and he probably damn never even heard of the guy, but he looked good. You know, he had on sunglasses, freaky looking hair, and a weird looking guy. You know, I mean, he's a weird looking guy, but he's always very, very straight up. And
did you know him?
No, I never met him. But
What did you think of his music?
Well, I didn't like his music too much, but I liked him. I thought he was a great man, and his music to me was weird, you know, heroin and cross-dressing. I didn't get it, but I would have loved to have seen him as a baseball player, playing football or running for mayor, or a chef, you know. I could have identified with him. His music, though, I couldn't stand it, but...
Well, wait, hold on. A minute ago, you just told me he's doing this benefit concert, right?
Well, yeah, he did do the benefit concert.
All right, and didn't you say you liked his music?
No, I said a lot of people thought he was a great musician. No, I couldn't stand his music, but that's not the point. The point is I thought he was a great guy, and I wished he would have done something else for a living so that I could have been more of a friend of his instead of, like, if he'd been... I don't know, if he just did things like sold flowers on the corner, I could have hung out with him more than I did. I can't, you know, the music he made was...
So you like Lou Reed, but not for his music?
Yeah, that's...
All right, Danny, thanks a lot.
All right, I know that sounds weird, you know.
Yeah, it sounds weird. I got to get going, man. I got to, I don't know what I got to do, but I got to get out of here. All right, so great. We'll be back. Phil Henry's show. We have Steve Bozell's going to come back and visit with us a little bit more about the controversy from the game on Sunday. We have R.C. Collins on the British Band. The guy doesn't like Lou Reed's music, but he likes him.
Yeah, the kind of freak you get on his show.
Yeah, and you too, bud. World famous Phil Henry's show.